A reading from Mark, chapter 1. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fisher folk. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of our Lord. Ominous words begin today's gospel reading. Now after John was arrested. You can hear the music in the background change. There's a sense of foreboding, of danger. Now granted, these are not the first words in the Gospel of Mark, but they're pretty close to the beginning. After all, we're only in chapter 1, verse 14 here. These are the first words of this large major section of the Gospel of Mark. This begins Jesus' ministry. Before I go further, I want to bring my greetings to all of you across the ELCIC, as well as to the parishes of the Anglican Diocese of Caledonia in northern BC, and to Bishop David Layman upon his invitation to share in this way for the observance of the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity. Now after John was arrested. Reading those words, you know there is more than a hint of danger here. There's a recognition that evil, that sinister powers are at work. There's a darkness that hangs in the air. It's a foreshadowing, certainly, for we know the rest of the story and of what happened to Jesus. Jesus is always mindful of what he will be facing, confronting, and encountering in the months and the years ahead. The gospel writers often refer to Jesus as turning his face toward Jerusalem. Again, another ominous statement. Maybe John's arrest was expected, inevitable. Not only did John confront the religious leaders of the day by using some not very nice words, "You brood of vipers," probably doesn't sit very well. I mean, that will elicit a few calls to the bishop, I say, by congregational members concerned about their pastor's lack of tactfulness. But John the Baptist also had the temerity to challenge King Herod number two. John made the unpardonable sin, from the king's perspective, that is, of challenging the king's morality. Herod not only married his own niece, which was verboten enough, but his niece was also married to Herod's brother at the time. Well, John the Baptist didn't think that this was an action worthy of a king, and he said so. He condemned Herod, Herod took offense, and so now John is in prison, and things look grim. Enter, stage right, Jesus. Jesus is from the town of Nazareth in Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is about 30 kilometers to the east. Jesus comes proclaiming the good news of God. Gospel. This is the Kairos time, the right time. The reign of God has come near. It is at hand, right in front of you, all around you. This is God's time, breaking in, among us, in us, through us. Turn around, says Jesus. Repent. You're going the wrong way. The good news is here. God's activity is among you. Then Jesus goes for a walk along the beach. He sees Simon and Andrew, brothers, fishing, and he calls them to come and follow. It's sort of not how we do things when calling someone for ministry. What happened to the colloquy exams for candidates? What of ordinations and council meetings and issuing formal letters of call? No, here Jesus speaks a word. Come. Follow. It is a word that invites us, calls us to something, calls us into something, calls us on a journey for which we cannot know the ending. Simon and Andrew are the first to be called, then Jim and Johnny. There are more to come in round number one of the disciple draft, but these four begin the gathering of the disciples. Now, remember what I said about the theme of the opening statement in this story about John's imprisonment? That is the context in which this call story takes place. It speaks of the hardships and challenges of life, and it speaks of ministry in spite of such things. The gospel calls us, compels us to be people of grace, to be light in this world, salt of the earth, in spite of or maybe because of the difficulties and challenges we face. Jesus calls. Jesus does not promise a life of ease. He certainly does not promise riches and wealth, but he does promise that he will be with us all the way to the cross and beyond. It is this promise of grace and presence that sustains us during the dark moments of our lives. Jesus and John the Baptist faced the reality of despotic rulers and the likelihood of imprisonment, even death. They witnessed evil incarnate. They saw how cheap life was, how easily people were cast aside in their society. For us, maybe it's not evil so much as the reality of life in this day and age. COVID-19 is laying bare the divisions in our society and the systemic injustices all around us. We see more clearly the financial inequities, the extra burdens placed upon the poor and the underemployed, those without security of housing, without secure access to food, without guarantees of work. We see those who are marginalized be even more at risk. We see so vividly how this COVID era has affected people's mental and emotional health, the increasing stress and strain, the challenges many face in their relationships. We see more clearly the fragility of life, the vulnerability of elders in care. And yes, for many of us, for all of us, there is the reality of heartache, pain and sorrow, of isolation and loneliness, and perhaps also the death of a loved one. For many people in this COVID era, there is a renewed search for meaning and purpose. Unsure of their place in this world, of what they want their future to be. Old patterns and ways of being and thinking are being rethought. What can be, should be, needs to be set aside? What am I learning about this time that I want to ensure stays with me as we move forward together? What does it mean to be kind, to be part of community, to live out our faith, to live out this calling that we have been given by Jesus? As the world has changed around us, we're struggling with questions as to what it means to be the church in this 21st century. It used to be we could put up a new church building and people would come and fill it. That doesn't happen anymore. Our world today is quite different. It's increasingly multicultural, increasingly multi-faith. There's a strong emphasis on personal and individual faith where everything is relative. There's a significant consumeristic approach to religion as people pick and choose from a variety of religious and spiritual practices. In addition, religion is often seen as suspect, particularly as the radicalism of religion increases. As if these challenges were not enough, we're hearing more and more that people simply find the church irrelevant. In light of such dramatic shifts in the world and within the church itself, it is easy to be paralyzed. We often are unsure of what it means to be the church and how to be the church in this day and age. But in the midst of this uncertainty, In the midst of this changing culture, Christ's call to each of us remains the same. Jesus prayed for us with these words, "As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." Such words are a reminder that the church does not exist for itself, but that Christ calls us to be in the world. Jesus' call to us continues to reorient us, to refocus our attention and our action. First and foremost, his call reminds us of our identity, that we are claimed by God, adopted, spirited, enlivened. It is Christ who calls us, and it is Christ who sends us into the world. Or maybe a better way to say that is, it is Christ who calls us out into the world in which Christ is already there, to join Christ in the world, walking along the seashore, serving those on the margins, challenging systems of injustice, caring for the last, the lost, and the least, welcoming prodigal children, turning water into wine, and hearing that even a cup of water given in his name is big and huge and Christ-like. Our identity informs our living. That is, our living arises out of our calling, out of our identity. Baptized into Christ, we are called to the same mission and the same ministry to which Jesus himself was engaged. That is our calling. That is our vocation. The word vocation literally means a call or a summons. According to James Fowler, vocation is not our job, our work, or our occupation. It may, of course, include such things, he says, but it should not be limited to one's source of livelihood or identified with one's career. What is vocation, then, asks Fowler? He proposes the following. Vocation is the response a person makes to the address of God and to the calling to be in partnership with God. It involves the orchestration of our leisure, our relationships, our work, our private life, our public life, and the resources we steward, so as to put it all at the disposal of God's purposes in the services of God and neighbor. From James Fowler. It's pretty heavy stuff. But what it is reminding us of is that because we have been called by God, all of our life is to be lived in grace, in joyful response and thanksgiving to the grace and love of God. Mother Teresa, among others, says it in a similar way. The story has it that when a young man asked Mother Teresa how he could know what he should do with his life, she responded, "Where the needs of the world intersect with your gifts, there is your calling." Jesus calls us to follow, calls us to faithfulness, calls us to be like the sower out there sowing the seed regardless of the results. The sower is all too aware of the rocks, the trodden path, the birds, the thorns, but the sower sows nonetheless. Our job, our calling, our vocation is to sow the seed, to serve and love, worship and praise. Our calling, our vocation, recalls the words of the prophet Micah, "What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God?" Now, after John was arrested, Jesus walks beside the Sea of Galilee, and he calls Simon and Andrew, James and John, me, you, to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. We walk forward in faith, trusting in the God who has called us by name.